All right, we are joined now by the owner of the winning team, Hendrick Motorsports, and that's Rick Hendrick. This is Hendrick Motorsports' 36th overall victory at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So that includes the Oval, the Roval, and all the All-Star races that this record-setting team has won. Rick, congratulations on the victory. Two drivers are advancing. Just talk about the day from your perspective, please.
Oh, it was an up and down day. At one point it didn't look too good, and for the five car to have to change a belt and a battery, we hadn't had any alternator problems, and then had two cars today, the 48 and the five, and then William was looking so good there, and I hate it for him, and Chase. I don't know how he came back with the damage he had, but he will to get that car up there. And so we'll go on now and try to win some races and make it to Phoenix.
If you have any questions for Rick, please raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We'll start right at the front with Greg and go to Rob.
Hey, Mr. Hendrick, congratulations. You got two cars in the playoffs.
Thank you.
And I know it's disappointing to have the two eliminated. There's nothing you can do about that. But
right.
Do you now shift kind of your mindset or your resources towards helping the other two continue to move forward? Is there going to be a shift, so to speak?
No. We're doing everything we can for all four. And I want those guys to win races. So we're doing everything we can for all four teams. It's one organization with four cars, one team with four cars. So. No, we're not going to back. They want to win. They want to finish the season on a high note. So, no, we'll just do what we've been doing. That's the plan. One thing I'd like to say, Greg Anderson won today in our pro stock car, and he's an all-time winningest pro stock driver. He tied the record a couple weeks ago, but he broke it today. So it's a pretty neat day to have Hendrick cars on his pro stock in this car here today. So.
Go to Al.
Hey, Rick, Al Pearson, Motor Week.
Yes.
During the race, particularly a cutoff race, are you aware, is somebody telling you almost constantly where our people stand? So you knew at one point Kyle was way below the line and William was above it. Are you aware of that? And if so, do you get too worried about it?
Ooh. Yeah, listen, I've got a screen that shows me every lap, but you got to figure in who's got a pit, who's out, staying out. And to be honest with you, today through this race, I lost track of everything. I mean, I was looking at the screen, but when you come in to change the belts and, you know, in Chase, I thought it was done. Didn't know if the car could continue. William was good all day. You know, you're trying to look at, okay, if William wins, then what happens to Chase? And can maybe all three of them get in? But it was the most nerve-wracking race, I think, that I can ever remember being a part of, watching, just because of the Roval and the pit strategies and where people were on tires. And it was a hard race to keep up with, but the crew chiefs did a nice job. And Vegas, we kind of messed up and didn't pit and cost us some really good finishes there. So today, it all worked out for us. But I was talking to Cliff after, and you'll talk to him here later. But he was everybody was uptight. It had to be.
We'll go right here and then go to Rob.
How you doing, Rick? Hill Overton, WIXC Radio. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, Hill.
Thank you, buddy. I tell you what, congratulations to you. How good does it feel after being down for a couple of years a little bit? Down for you guys, not down for most people, but to bounce back like you have this year, great speed, and you're performing not just on one type of track, but all the tracks. What kind of a feeling does that give you overall?
Well, it feels good. You know, we started off the year just so fast, and people caught up, but we've had just a heck of a year, all of our guys and crew chiefs. This has been the best chemistry, I think, between crew chiefs and drivers that we've ever had. And any week, one can win a race. Now, Kyle has been extremely good and won a lot of races this year. But Alex won three, and Chase won a couple, and William won one, and they've been in position to win. So it's been a great feeling not to have a sponsor say, why don't you give the 48 the same stuff you give the 5, or, you know, you give them the same motor, give them the same car. And now all the cars are done. Everybody touches each car, and the motors, you know, they're given out at random. So, you know, it's up to the teams. It's up to the driver. But it is the best we've been as an organization in a long, long time.
Take two more down here. We'll go up to press box, start with Rob, and then go to Dustin.
Rob Tianson, the podiumfinish.net. Rick, congratulations on another great win. I was just thinking, though, how sweet it was for you to have your team sweep the races at Charlotte. So given that this is a hometown race, how special does it get to know that you have a team behind you that can win this event?
Well, it's just, you know, Charlotte's home, and it's always been a race that we want to win. And we've been very fortunate here to win a lot of races through our career. But when we could have all our fans, a lot of our employees were sitting in the stands and they couldn't come in. But it's a home track, and I love it. I love the city. I've lived here now for a lot of years, and to see the complex grow from Harry Hyde and the gravel road to what it is today, it's home.
Go to Dustin.
Dustin Albino, JSki.com. Congrats on the win, Mr. H. As a team owner, though, how do you feel like Chase and the 9 team have handled the situation with Harvick?
Repeat that.
Yeah. As a team owner, like, how do you feel like Chase and the 9 team have handled the incidents with Harvick over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think they've handled it well. Of course, they were upset. Everybody was upset when that happened today, and it looked like Chase was – could be done and out of the playoffs. I mean, it was a lot of, you know, heated feelings, but came back and was able to win, and Harvick wrecked himself, I guess. So, you know, it. I hope it's over. We don't want to race that way. We want to just race, and that's not our style, and just go out and if a guy's better than you are, he wins, and just do your job. And if you get beat, you get beat. But don't. I've never liked never feels good to push somebody out of the way. I mean, a little rubbing or something, that's okay. But just to wreck somebody, that's not good.
Go to a press box for a question.
Jennifer Fryer, Associated Press. Congratulations, Mr. H. I'm wondering, you got 2 cars having some electrical issues, and then the 9 and the 4.
Well, I think they're the only ones that can really stop it, and you know, if and I hope they do, and because it's just the crew chiefs and everybody can do the best they can, but it's up to the drivers themselves. And I've been in this situation before, and NASCAR can handle it. What was the other question? I'm sorry.
My other question is, you know, what were you thinking when you're watching sort of everything unravel?
No, I was upset. I was ready to go home. I mean, it was like it was time to get the helicopter and get out of here. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, that's the lowest I've been, you know, since Talladega, I guess. We wreck everything we had down there. It's just hard to have a year like we've had, and then it comes to crunch time and then have issues. We haven't had an alternator issue, I don't think, all year. And here we are in the last race to advance to 8, and we have it in both cars. And I'm glad the guys recovered, and then the issue with Chase, and then you got William. Kids drove his heart out today, and you know, so you got a variety of emotions, but it's racing, and at the end of the day, we got to celebrate. So, at one point today, I didn't think this was even possible, but you guys kept digging, and here we are.
Any more in the press box?
All right. Additional question.
Thank you. Bring it down here. Go to Dustin, then Alex, and then Noah.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Rick, you know, Kyle's talent is unquestioned. We've certainly seen it through years and always thought in the past format ever could get to Homestead that he would win the championship and just never had that pedigree or everything to work out. Yeah. What do you see out of him to have that championship potential pedigree this year and what he's doing where beyond the equipment issues of years past that maybe he didn't have from your viewpoint?
I think Kyle has right now this year, he has tremendous confidence in the team, and they have tremendous confidence in him. And he believes, and I mean this, you know, he's a guy that he told me all week, I can't wait for the Roval. Hey, we're going to win the Roval. And, you know, he's so good everywhere. I mean, he doesn't have any – when you get to a place like Talladega, Daytona, when you take it out of his hands, then he's just he can't show the real talent that he has. But I think the race is coming up in Kansas and Texas, you know, and Martinsville. I hope we get hope we can get a win and enough points before we get there and end up in Phoenix. I think Hot and Slick will be a good track for him. So. We know the competition is going to be tough when you get there. You're going to have your hands full with any one of the other three cars. So, but I've never, I was around Kyle a lot when he was driving with Ganassi, and we were kind of friends, and I'd talk to him. But just the determination he has right now, and he's so good. I did not realize how good he was with feedback to the car. And now the further into the year he and Cliff go, the better they've gotten together. They can anticipate things. So pretty excited.
We'll take two. We'll take two more for Mr. H. We'll go to Alex and then wrap up with Noah.
Hi there, Alexandra with the Charlotte Observer. Do you feel like this latest win kind of solidifies that Hendrick Motorsports is the team to beat on road courses? And how do you feel like that sets the team up next year, given that there are still so many in the schedule?
Well, I don't know. I think we've won how many road course races? How many road course races have we won?
This year?
Yeah. In a row, I think it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Five. Yeah, I think we're. I think we're awful good on road courses. Our guys are. Next year with the new car, you know, who knows?
Then we'll take one last one from Mr. H to Noah.
Noah Lewis, TSJ Sports. Mr. Hendrick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that for William, Liberty University is signed through this season. He was at Liberty University this last weekend. For their homecoming festivities. What's the relationship there? Are you guys looking to extend?
Yeah, we'll have an announcement probably this week. It'll be a very good one. We're excited.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the
thank
victory,
you,
Mr. Hendrick, and thank you for your time.
Okay.
And as you see, we're also joined by the race-winning crew chief. That's Cliff Daniels. Cliff, obviously a wild race for you guys and your team. Talk about sort of the stress, especially with some of the issues you had early on in the race.
Yeah, certainly early in the race didn't look great for a little while. When we stayed out, you know, our car just wasn't where it needed to be. There in the first stage, I guess we stayed out of the comp, faded pretty hard. Knew we had some work to do on the car, and then I can't remember at what point we started having the voltage issue. Obviously, only a handful of things that could have been there. So the guys did a great job, A, to diagnose, and then B, we had to come up with a plan on what to do to fix it. Had to kind of think pretty fast on our feet. The plan changed when NASCAR called for it to be a quickie yellow instead of a regular yellow because we were actually planning to pit twice. And the guys, I couldn't be more proud. Jesse Saunders, our car chief, Steven Legendre, who's our engine tuner, they hit a home run on getting the car fixed. Our guys had to change the tires at the same time. So super proud of them, proud of our team. And after that, we just kind of had to hang tough for the end of the race. Short pitted some of those guys. Larson did a heck of a job on restarts, drove a great race. Very, very thankful the way it worked out.
Thank you, Cliff. If you have a question for Cliff, raise your hand. Go to Greg, Rob.
Hey, Cliff, way to go, man. Greg Engel, Auto Week. Do you guys practice that kind of stuff? I mean, because that just doesn't happen. You don't do that on the fly. Do you guys have, like we had in the military, you know, battle drills. Do you guys practice that? And obviously it paid off.
Yeah, we do, mostly in, like, January, February before a season starts. And as you practice, you know, crash repair, damage repair, changing parts and pieces on the car, we kind of have a notebook that you pull from. Now, obviously, it's been 30-something odd weeks since we've done that. So it can be a little dicey, you know, when you have to pull from those notes that you made back in January, February. But those guys were tough. They were ready. We've got a checklist every week that we go through of parts and tools and equipment that we need to have on standby. All that was ready and available. They knew what to do, and they got it done. So it worked out. Yeah, I mean, we always, I would say every maybe month, every four or five races, we go through just random scenarios that we see from other cars that may happen on track, things that happen to our teammates. So you're always trying to stay fresh on kind of the crazy what-ifs to know how to, you can't always plan for a day like this, but, you know, be somewhat prepared. Yeah.
Go to Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Cliff, during the broadcast, Steve Wittart was noticing when you had that meeting with all the team members, you know, obviously you had to do that to make a battle plan, but also that was taking you out of like being able to follow the race and keep track of all the strategies and things like that. So how did you manage that? How did you manage like, you know, keeping the team sort of on the same page about how you're going to fix the car and figure out how you were going to win the race, which somehow you were still able to do?
Yeah, at that point, I remember pretty clearly the two things that we needed to do was have a plan for if the caution came out and not burn the brakes off because he was running with no fans. There's the only two things I was really worried about at that point. Anything else strategy-wise, I knew if a caution came out, all the people that were on our cycle were ultimately going to stay out in your pitting anyways to fix your car. So strategy at that point was just gone in my mind. It was don't burn the brakes off because we have no fans. And I could tell kind of by lap times, I was peeking over Jesse's shoulder every now and then looking at lap times that we weren't, you know, trying to kill it at that point and burn the brakes off. And then we had to have a plan for the caution. And so then once that worked out, you know, everything kind of got reset and then we had to start all over on what our strategy was going to look like, you know, from there.
Go to Rob and then I stayed on here if you got Alex. Alex and then Rob.
Thanks. Hey, Cliff. Alexandra with the Charlotte Observer. Kind of the same question that I just asked Rick, but the road courses, you guys have been so successful on those this season. Is that somewhere that you've been focusing in particular? Do you feel like you guys have been the dominant team this season? And does that change that much next season with Next Gen, I guess?
I would start out giving credit where it's due. We're spoiled because we have Allen, Gustafson, and Chase and their record of road courses to pull from. They're the guys that the last two or three years have been the toughest on road courses. So I've got to give credit where it's due, and it's to those guys. If it weren't for the package that they built and that all the teammates kind of get to tune on and work from, we wouldn't be as successful as we are. Certainly it takes everybody back at the shop from brakes and transmissions, car construction, everything to just have a really solid piece. I know all that sounds really basic, but our cars do the right things right. You know, we have good transmissions, we have good brakes, drivers do a great job with it. And just the way that we get to study and prepare for these races based on good data points from the past kind of sets you that much farther ahead. You know, it's tough when you don't have a good race and you come back and you're reviewing your notes. It's like, well, okay, we know what doesn't work. How do we find what does work? Well, now we're, again, kind of spoiled because we know what works. We know what those guys have done. We know how they build their car and execute their race. We get to kind of pick apart how Chase drives. So that has really helped our whole company, you know, just elevate and you know, kind of run at a higher level.
And then, I mean, you sounded very calm on the radio throughout the whole thing, but were you actually that calm internally when you knew you had to make those long green flag stops?
Probably not. You know, the tough part is, you know, I try to operate with, you know, my gut feeling and based on the information that's right in front of me, the information that we had that was very well reviewed by me and Jesse and Steven for what we had to do. The pit crew was 100% on board. Like we kind of spelled out, you know, down below the pit box what our game plan was going to be, and it made sense to do it the way that we did. Now the curveball was when NASCAR called for the quickie yellow right in the middle of that because that totally kind of derailed our plan. But everybody thought quick on their feet. Guys did a good job getting it done, so glad it paid off.
Go to Rob.
Rob Tiongson for the podiumfinish.net. Cliff, congratulations on win number 7 of the year. You know, you guys swept the races here at Charlotte, so how sweet is it to accomplish this in front of Mr. H and in a hometown race for the organization?
Yeah, it's really, really special to sweep Charlotte, just in general. Anytime you can sweep Charlotte, whether it's oval or road course or both, is really cool. To be in the backyard of Hendrick Motorsports, our company has such a history here, such a legacy here. You know, a lot of our teammates were either here in the infield or they were in the grandstand from all different areas of our company. To have that much support here, to be able to bring the trophy home tonight, you know, for them to be able to see it tomorrow morning, makes it that much more special. Super happy for Mr. H and HendrickCars.com. We had a lot of Hendrick Automotive Group guests here. You know, the really cool part about it being a home race, it's kind of a family race that we get everybody from, you know, Hendrick Motorsports and from the Hendrick Automotive Group here. Great to have all those folks here.
There are some tenuous moments, of course, for Kyle to work his way through the field at a really tough track. So how confident were you that he was able to do it with a car underneath him?
I could tell at moments through the race, other than the first run, where we just weren't very good the first run, but then we went to work on the car. Once we got a chance to work on the car, I knew we had the pace that if we could ever get up front, we could probably run the top five. Obviously, it's tough to know if you're not leading, you know, what you're going to be like out front. Are you going to be vulnerable? Do you have the pace to stay up there? So we knew our car was going to be top five capable. Then once we got it up there, you know, Larson told me he was pretty amped up. His hand was shaking on the wheel. He was so excited for those last few restarts. So I think we've all seen, it doesn't matter what he's in, when you get Kyle Larson in that kind of mode, he's lights out.
All right, now we got a couple more down here, but we have some in the press box. We'll take one from press box.
Hey, Chris Knight, catch.com clip. Congratulations. I know that we're going to Texas Motor Speedway next weekend, and we didn't have the opportunity to race here like we had in the past. We just had the All-Star race. So do you have a good baseline where you feel like you need to be going into Texas, even though the weather is going to be completely different and we didn't, you know, the All-Star race isn't as long as a traditional 500-mile race there?
Yeah, it's going to be different for sure. The weather plays a factor. Also, the package is a little different. Remember, we had a smaller plate on the engine. We were there for the All-Star race. So that race is a little bit different. To be honest, we weren't that good at the beginning of the All-Star race. We had to make a lot of adjustments to the car. So I'm actually, it's going to sound weird to say, I'm glad to know the bad things that our car was doing at the beginning of that race that we improved during that race so we can continue to build on those notes. Obviously, look back on our notes from last year and kind of put our best guess for what we need.
Anything else from the press box? We'll come back down here to Dustin and then Al.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Cliff, you were talking in regards to Nate's question about not being focused on strategy at that one particular point. But then the next stop, I think it was 74, is when you guys came in pit, and I think you were essentially one of the first cars to lead that cycle. Did that become a, a strategy play in that sense in trying to get track position? Because it seemed like when the way things worked out that you gained a lot of positions at that point, and kind of once the cycle went through, was that some of the thinking at that point?
Yeah, it was. When everything was happening, again, our two objectives were just to take care of the car, get the car fixed however we could. Once we got going again, you know, I could tell our car had pace because we'd pass somebody, catch the next group really quick, but passing seemed to be kind of tough today. So I think we were 16th, somewhere around there. Knew that our backwards lap was going to be in the 74 to 75 range. We chose the earlier side of that just to try to leapfrog as many as we could. You know, I had to tell him we could have been a quarter of a lap, you know, short on fuel. Not really sure how that was going to play out. That was really our best move to try to leapfrog a chunk of cars that I thought our pace from that point forward, even if we had five lap older tires, could just keep us ahead of those guys that would pit, you know, a couple laps later than we did. Doesn't always work out like that. This time it worked out okay. Got a series of cautions after that. Guys did a great job on pit road, and then you have this guy on restarts, so it was good.
And also, just obviously you've worked together all year, but his, you know, people talk about how calm you were, but just how calm Kyle was. Certainly we've heard drivers in the past kind of get panicky and upset, and I don't know, Kyle, if I'm incorrect, you can correct me on that. But it seemed like it was, you know, Kyle was calm and it was able to take that in, you know, just that relationship and just how Kyle seems to be that California cool all the time.
He thinks really quick in the moment. He can process a lot of thoughts really fast, and I can too, but my objective for him and for the team is to spell it out as clear and as concise as possible. So we hit the first objective. When you're done with that one, you go to step two. When you're done with step two, you go to step three. It sounds so basic and simple, but that's, we really had no choice. It cracks me up after the race when he said to me, his hand was shaking on the wheel, you know, he was so amped up for the last couple restarts. I know that of him, but I know his maturity behind the wheel with how fast he can be. He's at a mature point now. He can control it so well. He can go stupid fast, be in control, pass guys for the win, pass guys for whatever. I think he kind of trusted in us to do what we had to do to get him up there, and then we certainly trusted in him to take care of the rest, and it all worked out.
We'll take one more and let Cliff go. We'll go with Al.
Yeah, Cliff, I asked Rick the same question I'm going to ask you. He said this was one of the most nerve-wracking races he had sat through because you were in the next round, you were not in. You were back in, excuse me. Were you able to keep up pretty much with where you were points-wise, or did you just figure you'll just wait till the race plays itself out and not worry about every little movement?
Yeah, a couple things there. Part of, I would say, Rick's anxiety, too, is we were only one quarter of what was adding to his anxiety today, right? He had four cars to keep up with throughout the day. And then for us, all year I've tried really hard not to pay attention to points, but Kyle and I have had some conversations. He thinks I get mad at him when he asks about points. I try not to let that be like the guiding factor to what we have to do. At the end of the day, if we have damage, if we have issues, whatever's going on, my job is to lead him and the team to what we have to do to get ourselves back in contention. Is that contention for a top 20 or a top 5? You don't know until you get your stuff fixed. So all week we knew we were going to kind of have points, you know, off to the side screen where we could see it. I did keep up with it throughout the day. Saw when we were, I think at one point we were 11 points out, I believe, all the way up to when we were 55 points to the good. Saw the big swing of that, but you can't ride the highs too high and you can't ride the lows too low. When we were leading at the end, I was pretty realistic, like, okay, if we get a late race restart, we may not win this thing, right? We've all seen how the crazy restarts can go at the Roval, so I never once thought we had it in the bag. On the flip side of that, when things were going terrible, and I didn't know if we could get an alternator belt back on the car or get a battery in the car, I wasn't convinced that we were out of it either. You know, you just can't ride the waves that much. So thankful to have a great team behind us. Everybody executed today. It worked out. Thanks, Al.
Well, thank you, Cliff. Congratulations, and we'll let you get the tech.
Yep.
Good job.
Last Thanks. But certainly not least is our winning driver, Kyle Larson. Kyle, congratulations on the win. We'll get right to questions. I'm sure there are plenty. So we'll open it up here with Hill.
Hi, Kyle. Hill Overton, WIXC Radio. Man, congratulations on a great win. It's long been known you were a premier dirt track racer, short track racer, oval track racer, but have you surprised yourself at all with what a great road course racer you've become too?
Yeah, I mean a little bit. I felt like for me to be able to qualify as good as I had in years past when we had qualifying on road courses, I felt like I was a good road course racer until I would get to the races, and I wouldn't be very good in the just on the long run stuff. So now with Hendrick, I think, you know, just the setups kind of go along with me and my style, and we're able to have good long run speed. And, I still feel like I'm so far away from being where I could be as far as road course, you know, racer. I still think there's tons of room for improvement. I think there's so many more people out there that are better than me under braking, you know, just doing little things better than me, and we're able to get wins like we are. So I feel like if I can put some more work in, you know, I should hopefully get a lot better.
Go to Rob and then back here.
Rob T. Youngson for the podiumfinish.net. Kyle, congratulations on your 7th win of the year. It seemed like you and your number 5 team had to really work for it today. So first off, how gratifying is this victory given the circumstances with the alternator belt and the battery changes just before the midway point of this race?
Yeah, it's so satisfying because I really did not think that we were going to have a shot to win today. I had a lot of different emotions throughout the middle portions of that race, thinking that this is so depressing and sad and crazy that I'm going to lose my shot at a championship because of a alternator issue. To, okay, now we got it fixed. let's just try and get away with a top 15 finish and keeping all the fenders on it. And then, you know, I was passing some cars, and then we had a really good green flag cycle, and I'm trying to look at the big screen, and yeah, I see Denny coming up on my mirror, so I'm like judging off of that of, okay, I think I'm towards the front here now. Like, man, I'd love to see a caution come out. And then it all worked out, and not that many people stayed out with him, and I knew he was in trouble. You know, I had just a lot of stuff, you know, work out for us, and, you know, William having to, you know, go through the backstretch chicane to get us, and that allowed us to get to second. And from then on, I was like, you know, we have a really good shot to win now. So just wild range of emotions all race long, and just crazy that I'm sitting here talking to all you.
For sure. And it seemed like you chose your battles really wisely, especially when Tyler Reddick caught up to you and got second before you retook that position and caught Denny for the win. So, I mean, how confident were you that you had the car underneath you to make the final charge that you did?
Yeah, I knew I had a car that was definitely capable of winning. I was trying to be patient with it. I knew I had much better tires than Denny, but to a point, I was too patient with him the first restart. So was able to somehow get past Reddick. I think him and Denny got battle, and I was able to get him before we got back onto the oval, turn one over there, and then a caution came out shortly later, and I told myself, you know, I still need to be smart and patient, but not to waste any time if I get an opportunity. And I had a good restart, was able to get, you know, single file off of turn one. And the restart before, Denny had kind of entered low and washed really high in the center of three and four over here. And I knew that was going to be a good opportunity for me if I could get my angles right to get pointed and squirt in front of him and at least get position on him off of four. So, yeah, that restart went really well for me, and from then on, just kind of had to manage the gap behind me and not make mistakes.
Go over here in the back, and then we'll go to the press box, and we have two more down here at least.
Yes, Michael Shelton with the Checkered Flag Podcast. Congratulations, Kyle, on your victory. You complete a sweep of the Charlotte races with the Coke 600 and the Roval, and it's your second straight win in an elimination race. Is it, do you believe that there's just something about you and your team that you know how to flip the switch and just peak at the right time when it's called for?
I'm not sure. I will say though that my team did an amazing job today. You know, everybody, you know, Steven getting the belt changed, Jesse changed the battery, my pit crew staying calm and you know, listening to Cliff when he's communicating with him, when you know, we're having to, you know, change up our plans when they're, you know, changing the cautions to quickie yellows, you know, things like that. So I think Cliff is more good at kind of flipping the switch and keeping everybody motivated and calm and just communicating well, you know, with all the tasks that each and every one of us needed to get done. And then, you know, our race cars is really good too, which allows us to be more patient in situations like that. I think when you're trying to fight handling or speed just in general, you can really overdrive and make mistakes. So having a good car helps flip the switch, I guess.
Mm-hmm. We'll go upstairs to the press box.
Jen Fryer, Associated Press. Kyle, you had so much to go through to get to the end, and then Cliff said several times your hands were shaking on those late restarts. Why the nerves at the end of the race instead of when you were facing all that stuff earlier? What's that about your hand shaking?
One of my hands. It was my brake leg was like getting kind of twitchy just from just nerves and stuff. Not under caution. Once we got going and you know, I got the lead, I couldn't believe I got the lead that early on the restart. But yeah, I mean, that was just an excited anxiety shake then. Early on when I was having all my issues, I was just kind of sad and depressed that this was going to be how my season was going to end, where we didn't really, you know, have a crash or a mistake on our part, just a, you know, something kind of freak happened. So yeah, had a lot of emotions, but it all worked out.
Anything else from upstairs?
No additional questions.
Thank you. Go back down here to Greg and then over to the right.
way to go, man. That was awesome. I know it was fun for us to watch, and I know not necessarily fun for you, but were you aware of everything that was going on with Harvick and Chase during the race at all, or I mean, you'll now catch up on it?
Yeah, I mean, I need to really go back and watch what happened. Obviously, we had the big screen, so I saw, you know, Kevin get into Chase over here, and you get his payback, I'm guessing. But, man, Chase's team did such a good job. You know, fighting through that. I think any other race in the season, you probably, you'll give up and just, you know, patch it together the best you can. And the driver's probably also going to just, you know, limp it around and accept that, you know, they aren't going to make it the next round. But, you know, not Allen and Chase and that whole nine team. That was unbelievable what they did. And I think they finished like 13th or something like that. That's crazy. So 12th. So, I mean, that's just crazy. And I was following along with that. And then, you know, I saw Kevin get – or I heard about Kevin getting into the barriers and once. Wasn't sure if Chase got into him or not. But I saw on the big screen that didn't happen. So, yeah, just a wild race for so many different people. You know, so many drivers kind of had to overcome something, I feel like, today. I don't think there was anybody that probably had a smooth race at all.
Do we have a question on the right, or you're good? Any further questions for Kyle? A little dust in the room.
So, Kyle, even with your points, you know, with all the playoff points that you had so many this round, and you know, we saw what happened at Talladega, the ups and downs there and ups and downs here. Are you ready for the next round and the challenges that could be ahead, or are you just glad that this one's over and feel more confident about the next round?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I'm through, and I'm glad I somehow got five more points to take into the next round for sure. Because, I mean, I think you look at probably where, you know, had I been in the same, you know, you eliminate eight cars or what, or four cars out of this round, you know, I'm much closer to the cut line going into, you know, Martinsville. If you know, I have an average first race, a bad second race, then we're in like a extra stressful situation going into Martinsville. So hopefully Texas goes smooth. Hopefully Kansas goes smooth, and we can be a little bit more stress-free. Or I guess I can't imagine I'll be much more ahead of the cut line than I probably was going into today, just with, you know, everybody having more points. But yeah, you gotta be really good. You gotta do a good job every lap of every race. You gotta get stage points. You just can't let your guard down and lose, you know, ground on guys that are gaining points on you. So yeah, it's nice to have the bonus points that we have, but I'm hoping we don't have to lean on them like we did at Talladega or going in today.
We have another one. We'll stay down here, Nate, and then we'll go to the press box and then wrap up with Rob.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Kyle, we were talking before the race, and you were talking about that you don't believe in luck, that circumstances, there's too many things that happen in the course of a race. I'm just wondering, after a race like this, are you still a believer in just sort of like you make your own luck, or did it feel like things just sort of fell your way today?
I think, I don't know, I guess bad luck with the alternator belt, but then after that, you know, I think for sure you make your own luck. You know, Cliff leading all of us to get our tasks done and keep ourselves in the game. Maybe the ladybug on the roof of my car made a difference today, but I don't know. I don't even want to really think about luck or good luck, bad luck, anything right now. I just want to go out there and do our jobs, and then it'll all take care of itself.
Anything else from the press box?
Yeah, I got one.
Yep.
Me again, Kyle. Rick was in early before you came in the room, and he thinks that NASCAR needs to step in between Chase and Kevin. I'm wondering, as a driver, if you think that the sanctioning body ever needs to sort of referee these kind of views.
I don't know. I haven't been in that situation yet to have a true opinion. You know, I'm very glad that Chase was able to overcome everything that happened today. You never know if Kevin's gonna feel like he still owes him more, But yeah, that's between them two and NASCAR. If they feel like they need to step in, I don't truly, I guess, have an opinion of it. But just glad that Chase was able to, you know, overcome it today.
Anything else from the press box?
Additional question.
Thank you. And we'll wrap it up with Rob here.
Rob again from thepodiumfinish.net. Kyle, I was thinking back to 2018, how you pretty much almost had this race won, and then you had that moment in turn one, but now I'm thinking you just swept the races here at Charlotte. So how sweet is it to overcome that and accomplish this victory in front of Mr. H in a hometown race for the team?
Yeah, no doubt. That moment of 2018, I can guarantee you it's on my mind every restart of every Roval race I've ran since then. So that's all I can think about, coming to the restart zone, lining up next to Denny in the right lane. Like, don't do that again. I don't even know how that happened really last time, because I don't feel like I drove in that much deeper then as I would have today, but it happened. So it's on my mind, and cool to overcome and make it into the next round that day, and then to get two Charlotte wins this year is cool.
Kyle, congratulations. Thank you for the time, and good luck next weekend at Kansas.
Yeah, thank you, guys.